Hello and welcome to the first Text podcast. Our today's guests are Zuzana Husarova and Lubomir Panak, and we're talking about their work at the Literary Margins and Digital Media Conference in Wrocław. Hello, you both.
Hello.
Hello.
Let's start from some introduction. You usually work together, you usually do performances together, installation together. How did it come that you started to work together as a creative team?
It all basically started from love. So, because we both were doing things with digital media. So I'm a literary theoretician who is doing research in electronic literature, so digital media connected with literature.
And I'm coder, so I'm basically doing the stuff on the web, making web pages and applications. So from this came like Susanna wants to do some things, and I was able to make it real. So Susanna knows about literature and I know about coding.
And then basically kind of everything that we do is not like this one person who does it and the other one just programs it, but we all the time work as a team on the whole work. So we have an idea, we think about how to do it, we think about which media we need, we think about which tools we need, and then we basically think from the concept as the main, as the first part, through the whole procedure. And then we basically start working it. And basically most of the time from this thinking think tank, the first thing that goes out of it regarding the medium is usually the text. So we basically start from the text and see how it should be conducted in the programming type of way.
But how did it start? Actually, like, did it start like an artist is looking for a programmer, or a programmer is looking for an artist, or you just met and you decided to do something together?
We met as a couple, so and after that we decided to like, okay, let's do some things, not just like a couple, but I know this, you know this, so let's put it together.
Let's still collaborate. So we usually have the types of relationships that are somehow collaborative. So it's not only about going to theater, watching films together, but what can we do together that we can enhance ourselves and we can put together to the world. So it started as the couple relationship in which both of us were able to do different things and we wanted to develop something together.
And it started from projects that were, as far as I remember, more screen-bound. They were mostly on the screen, but quite quickly, your work together ended up in something that was more in space, more in a living environment of a reader. How did it evolve from the single screen writing space to something more spacious, more natural, more body oriented?
It came from that when we began that technology, which made possible to make that things in the space, was not available, so. Yeah, the first thing was the screen, because we used the web technologies, so it was easy to code and it was really easy to put it into world.
So the first projects were Pulse and BA Tail, so they are the ones that are interactive on the screen.
Mm-hmm. And they are available on the web. And then Microsoft brought the Kinect technology, so we, like the nerds, wanted to try it. So we thought about how to use that technology. So we bought Kinect and then we started to explore that thing.
So it basically came from the technological possibilities of expression, because I also kind of like before wanted to do something that would be in the space, that would be allowing the reader to move, to touch the words, because that was basically kind of like, that was all the time my dream as a poet, like to touch the words and make them react somehow, and to feel them and to grasp them. But the only available technology until then was to have the big room that is...
With cameras,
with big cameras.
But with cameras, you had to have special light conditions and things like that.
And it's very expensive. You cannot really install it all the time.
Yeah, there were millions of dollars invested in a cave project in Brown.
Yes.
So Kinect was this breakthrough that actually make this technology more
available to normal users for $150. And then we thought about how to use the possibility that Kinect uses also in a narrative and literary way, so that the semantics is in the text itself and the semantics of the movement is in the text itself. So we thought about the thing that the Kinect allows is also to use the Z-axis, not only X and Y, movement on the kind of like up and down and to the side, but also to move the depth.
It's like with normal camera, the camera sees like just on this pixel there is this color, but with Kinect the Kinect sees the space, so it knows that in this position from this distance there is something, and when you run it through the algorithms which are optimized for like body movement and how the body sees, looks like the Kinect recognizes the body, so it is easy to track the humans. So basically it's a device designed to do these things. So it made it really easy and possible to scan the space for the person and to track the movement of the person.
So from now on, in every project, you just needed to script a reader into a work. And actually, the Literary Marriages and New Media event is focused on several phenomena which new media works relate to, and one of these phenomena, interestingly, is children literature and children's perception of a work of literature or work of art, something that we know from children's literature publishing that is more interactive, more tactile, more touch-friendly. How do you think you can contribute with this technology that you developed in a literary direction? How can you see an involvement or a context of children's literature in your work?
So there are basically more ways how to do it, and we have tried more of them. So in the first place, there is the use of Kinect and use of kind of interactive technologies that, for example, that we use in Enterin Woodies and ITER, which were both used also as an installations. And during those installations, it was really funny to watch both the reaction of the adults and of the children. And for the children, it was very kind of natural environment, because some of them were already used to Kinect, also knew how to work with it, knew how to react with this, knew what is the machine doing. And besides these interactive technologies, you have also another instance of the children's literature used in digital media. That is, for example, the children tales, or the so-called play tales, or the children tales for tablets, where it's basically very natural for children to interact with different stories, create the narratives and move the narratives in digital ways. So it's basically kind of rewriting of the traditional fairy tales, like a video with interactive elements, also with some of them use the text, or there are some of them that create new fairy tales. So we haven't done exactly that, but we have also done a project that is based on tablet literature. So this basically tablet children-oriented literature is a really big hit because it has a huge
user base.
There are many companies who do it. There are many app firms. There are the whole projects of rewriting the fairy tales into this type of thing. So it's basically the question of what happens when all these children who are used to this, basically from the age of two, there are some of them there for the age of two, what will they require as a literary expression when they are older? Because they will be used to the literary narratives in these digital ways. So our generation is still been embraced on the books as the main medium, as the literary expression that is the books. But for those type of children, it will be the books plus this digital media. So for them, it will be much more natural to combine different media in maybe unexpected ways for us, or use it more freely. So for them, the narrative will not be only based on a certain medium, but it will be basically transmedial, because it can be used in different media in different ways. And they will be used to different ways of those media works. So they will basically like the idea of medium specificity that Catherine Hales is proposing will be extremely in place, or what I think. So that is something, because in children's literature we all the time had this, as you said, fluidity, pop-up books. So all the experimentation was basically also based on and played with in the children's literature, because the boundaries of what is possible were different than what was for the literary canon, where that was only text-based and had a certain criterion, but children's literature was much more free.
Yeah, there was this strange process of erasing the memory 20 years ago, let's say, when the kids' literature was very developed, lived the flop books, sound books, books that you can interact with when kids were aged 4 or 6, and then suddenly came the school age when they just read the regular paper, print-based books, and they were kind of forced to forget about the previous experiences with some kind of interactivity in the books, whereas now 20 years on, the experiences of the expanded book, of the touch interactivity, will most likely remain with them.
There are also many projects for school kids that they are given tablets, to work with tablets at schools. Mm-hmm. So tablet is used as a school material for elementary schools, quite in many countries. Like in Austria, they have big projects about this.
There are projects like to teach them in that way, some other things like physics and chemistry, showing them how it works. So it basically just changed the content of the work.
Mm-hmm. Also kind of like, for example, we're talking to the friends in England, and they said also the kids are taught quite a lot of programming as well. So it's the combination of physics, mathematics, programming, and also creative arts, the arts together. That will be the new generation of the digital literature makers.
And they won't be definitely situated in the margins of the literary communication. And coming back to this, because the subject of the conference is literary margins, how do you relate to this notion of the margins? For me, you too are a perfect example of someone who just uses the natural environment to create some meaningful works out of it. And the natural environment in 2010, 2015 is just a mix of digital and analog, of screen-based and spatial, space-based media, and this is just what you do. You just use what is around. How do you relate yourself to the notion of the center and the margin Anno Domini 2015?
It basically all the time, like, from which perspective you look at it. If you look at it from the perspective of the culture that is basically now a digital culture, then we are in the, like, we are in the middle of it. Not really in the center, that I wouldn't say, but we are basically a part of the digital culture and try to kind of enhance it in some way. If you think about it from the position of the literary culture and of the more traditional literary culture, then we somehow are on the margin, because you're only when you look at it from the way of how people perceive us. Like, I am very often perceived either as a person who works with new media or as a person who works in the visual field. Like, when the people think about my things, they don't really in the first place think about me as a poet.
Yeah.
Then I have to present myself as a poet who works also with digital media. But that's not really the association that people naturally get. Then you have the thing about basically who are the recipients. Like, in the traditional literary sense, the recipients are people who are readers. In our sense, the people who are recipients are readers, viewers, listeners, interactors, movers, all in one. So it is literature. It is definitely literature, but it's literature that is somehow enhanced. So for those people who think about literature being only for reading, we are elsewhere. Those who think about literature as a center for all the senses, then we are in the center. So it's basically how you think about the concept of literature.
In that way that when people receive literature not just as a book, for them the traditional literature culture is that boundary, which is like, okay, this is book, you cannot move anywhere, you cannot use it in different ways. So for those people, this is the margin. So
But also, like, interesting is that when we think about the work lyric, so lyric was traditional as the literary medium that was sung along with the lyre. So that was, it was basically like a sound poetry. But then during the antiques, it was all this, like a combination of literature for some type of ceremonial performative way. Then during the Middle Ages, it was all, we had Nibelungen who were singing and going with their instruments. But then from Romanticism until Modernism, there was the establishment of the silent individual reading of the book as the medium of creation of an individual self expression, as well as the self, as the reception that was supposed to be silent and lonely. And that is basically, so also surprisingly, like, that is not traditional. Like, the modernist way is not really traditional, because the traditional is something that is older. So what the digital media are doing nowadays, they are basically connecting us with the old ancient ways of working that was much more free.
Which is not that ancient, because if we count it as from the beginning of Romanticism to the end of Modernism, it's just 200 years of history, but this 200 years of history overshadowed our views of what literature is, whereas this rest of the literature history from the Romanticism back to the Homer was more really like the lyrical kind of thing, when you have to sing, play, move, and perform.
It also has to sense, have to perform, and the same way was in Baroque era. Like, there was very interesting visual poetry in Baroque era. So when somebody does visual poetry nowadays, it's not like it's experimental. If somebody does sound poetry, it's not experimental. It's only experimental towards the traditional thinkers who are embedded in modernist times.
One of the important aspects of your works is body and movement. How do you plan the experience of your work that is spatial and involves body?
It was like the main impulse was that I was here in Bratislava and Susan was in the US, so it came from the desire, like she wants to touch me, I want to touch her, and it was like we have this device, so okay, let's transform this experience on of wanting to touch something what is untouchable.
What is traditionally considered somehow untouchable, the words, yeah, the visual, mm-hmm, and the
like to touch that person, you can in that moment just imagine, so mm-hmm, it came from this thing, and then we made first prototype of that thing, and looked like it worked with the readers, and then we iterated a few times to find that the final way how it works best with the readers.
But for me it's also like being in the field of poetry, all the time I think about the word in different dimensions. So you think about the word that has a semantic meaning and that has the formal meaning. And then the formal meaning is that it has a certain size, it has a certain spatial characteristic, it has a certain phonetic qualities, it has a certain visual and aesthetic qualities, and has a semantic qualities. And most of the time, mm-hmm, having all this together, most of the time, the attention is paid only to the semantic. Mm-hmm. So for me, it's basically like feeling the neglect to all mm-hmm the other qualities mm-hmm of mm-hmm the word. And it is basically my practice that I do all the time, like trying to highlight the fact that it has those other qualities that can go in hand, and that create the semantic. So the semantics doesn't have to be created only from the meaning of the word itself, mm-hmm, but the semantics comes from where the word is placed, how light, loud or silently you pronounce that word, mm-hmm, if you can touch it or you cannot touch it. Then if you touch those two words together, what is the interactive aspect of it? So what you as the reader can experience with the mm-hmm literary world that you don't normally do with the books, or that you don't really think about when doing the books. And basically kind of our idea is also like when this person is doing it this way, when interacting with the basically room mm-hmm that is full of these words, or that is the kind of virtual representation of these words, maybe their idea about the written text might change as well. So it's basically like trying to get them into being sensitive towards the literature in different ways, and to try to kind of sense it in those different ways. Maybe also their relationship to just the written word will change, because they might realize all those things. So that's why when we have entering Rudy's, we have it in the gallery environment where the people can interact with this, but we also do it as performances where Lubo interacts with the piece and I read it, but I don't read it as the whole words, but once he unveils them, I only read the parts of the words or something that is slightly uncovered, to basically pay attention also to half of the word or one syllable, mm-hmm, or a scratch from the word, but because it also is a sign. So it's basically the world of the signs that mm-hmm have the meaning.
So let us have this inside view of a workshop. Let's just make an exemplary word and think about how to place it in the interaction with a user and his body and his movement. What that word would be.
Yeah, we can use some of the words that were in Entering Rudy's, for example.
Inhale.
Okay, inhale.
Yes.
So the way it is done there, you have to first touch the organ, which is mm-hmm in that case lungs.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm you touch the part of the body where mm-hmm the lungs exist. Mm-hmm. Then you get the image of the lungs. You get mm-hmm the sound of breathing, and then you get a black layer,
which you have to uncover, and the word inhale is like the main motive of the wall
of the whole poetry.
Of whole poetry, yeah.
And basically, the whole poetry is about the functions of the organ lungs, of the breathing itself. So it's Atmen in German, breathing in, breathing out, and so on. So the reader moves with the hand, and where he moves the hand, there the part of the poetry uncovers. So, for example, with the word inhale, they touch on the sphere of that, for example, only the word part of the N and hail, and it appears.
Or just in.
Or just in, or just le, or just a from inhale. And the way Lubo touches it, that the way I read it. And I also kind of read every part of it based on like the phonetic qualities of that organ. So for example, this part of lungs, I read inhale. But when I would have their only part of the and then I would read or so it all the time depends, and basically kind of I want to also kind of through sound poetry make you aware of what the inhale might mean phonetically.
So this brings us back to the question of the children's perception of literature. Do you think a child is better accommodated to experience your message?
It's like the children are much more like confident with the technology, so they knew that, but it's like watching the movies from Disney or other studios, which are like animated movies, the children sees different story like the adult. So when we saw the children interacting with that piece, the children didn't really understand, not just because they didn't understand English, but like they took it much more like as a game. So they wanted
to get
the points and to make it to go through the whole piece
without really reading the text itself.
Yeah, so for it was game like touch that and uncover the whole piece, and because the text is not really suited for children, it's hard text, so they are not so much interested in that text. They were much more interested in interaction with that piece. They can anchor the letters and that virtually touch some points of some virtual body.
And the adults were more interested in reading.
It depends on adults. We saw some adults which took it like, yeah, it's a game, and then they realized that they have to read. So they were not interested, but there are other people which understand that, okay, this is, they saw it at first like, okay, something interesting, it's interactive, and then they realize that they have to read to get the point, what is it about, and yet they were interested in that piece. So.
It's also kind of interesting that we tried it on this purpose in different environments. It wasn't supposed to be anything to do with literature, but we were invited because of dealing with digital literature. We did it on literary festivals, we did it in galleries, we did it on a dance festival. So we really tried different settings just to see how those people interact from those different
audiences.
Extremely different audiences. And each of them had a different approach. So this is also interesting. So it's not like a typical literary medium that proposes itself for a certain type of audience.
What is the message then to an audience whatever audience, how to best approach your work as it is or as you planned?
For me, it was like seeing that which audience was educated in contemporary culture and how the contemporary culture moves and develops. So when the audience was like in traditional culture and they were not able to find the way because they don't understand, some of them after some time understand that okay, this is about readings and I am the reader which controls how I read. But yeah, it depends on that person if it's somehow educated in that way of perceiving of things.
Mm-hmm. And I've also kind of like I'm sorry. So that is basically like, but you don't have to be kind of like super educated. I would say, but like the key word is to be curious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like Lubo said, like yeah, you just have to kind of. You don't have to think about a certain way that this is right, because whatever you experience, that is your experience. Like most of the time when we ask people what do they get out of it, it's like they never get those words exactly. They most of the time get a multimedia experience that sets them in a certain mood.
Mm-hmm.
So the experience might be like a combination of music, visuals, and liturgy, but the most interesting is maybe to be willing to be open to the experience that is multidimensional.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't get you to one, and it doesn't give you one answer, because the answer is yours, and you have to be kind of open to come with wanting to get your own answers.
So the message to the audience would be to relax, to be open, to be perceivable,
and curious,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And just see what comes along.
And also kind of with their own interaction, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Michael Joyce is one of the biggest figures to come to the conference and the symposium and the event to Wrocław. And curiously enough, this year is quite a remarkable year, or the last months, for the kind of experiments with new media Michael Joyce is now involved in. With J. David Bolter and Maria Ekberg, Michael Joyce is doing some expanded reality projects, something that reminds us of Google Glass projects that has the literary aspect. And now, as we know that Google suspended the Glass project, that the expanded reality really didn't took off recently. The future of the experiments in this kind of field is quite uncertain. What do you think about this field of experiments with literature?
I think that now we have much more better technologies. There is an Oculus Rift, or you can use your mobile as Oculus Rift with Google Cardboard. So now, and Microsoft introduced the HoloLens, so I think that's just whole new level of exploration. So we will see.
Mm-hmm.
How it will go. The glasses were very limited, and these new technologies are much more open. And you have much more possibilities, like with the glasses. So it will be much more better, I think.
And also, kind of like the augmented literature has existed. Like there were books that included augmented reality. There was a locative literature where you went to a certain place and there you had a certain type of story or narrative, and like very often one is predicted of where the culture is going or where the, you know, where the culture and basically like the society is going, it's very often saying that it is going to the movement in the space. So we won't be for long working with the displays under the, like, close to the computers, but we'll be having the computers as they have in the sci-fi movies, where like having a, like the screen that you tap into and have that. And just using this as a literary screen is a perfect thing. You can kind of go with this, open it all the time. So I think that will open the ways of like location-specific literature, of a geospatial literature, because you can get literature that is specific for a certain place. So there were also kind of like the projects that were for Google Maps, where you can basically kind of like have the poem that is specific to a certain location. So you don't have to build in those descriptions, long narratives, as in novels, as in Victorian novels, where you have to introduce everything first. You can get rid of all this and just have the main part. But I mean, there haven't been many projects with that yet.
Yeah.
So it's also like with literature, there have been kind of, regarding the massive popularity of Kinect in all the other media, like in visual, in music, it had a lot of attention. With literature, it still didn't have that much attention. There are like, what, 4 projects that deal with Kinect? We have 2, there are more, like 5 more that I saw only as a performance. I didn't see it as the whole project in the literary field. Or there might be some that I don't know of. But the literary scene is somehow specific, so it works in a little bit like different space.
The logic is a bit different.
The logic is a little bit different than the other media.
What is your next project about? Is it still bound to Kinect, or you want to explore some other media?
The last project we did was Obvia Gaude, which is simple Android app, which is based on Slovak Baroque literature, which Susanna found. And we made one poem from that book, and we want to remake another one poem for the mobile devices.
We've been kind of working with Kinect quite a lot, so we don't really feel like doing it that much.
We found that, okay, what we did is enough. We don't have an idea what to do next with it. Probably, if Kinect would be smaller and
more
somehow embeddable, and you can, and somehow if we can connect it with different devices like the VR glasses or something like that, that would be fine. But for this time, if we think the Kinect, how we use it in literary ways for us enough, so we want to explore something else, yeah.
For example, I worked quite a lot with my sound poetry project with Leap Motion, which is a kind of like a tiny Kinect. So I use it for kind of manipulating, so I use it in my performances.
Okay, thank you very much, and thank you very much for your presence. Text the podcast number 1, Literary Marigens. Zuzana Husarova, Lubomir Panak, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.